Yes.
It's intermission time, and our guest, get ready, folks, is tenor Vittorio Grigolo. Stay with us. This is Mid-Opera Radio on Sirius XM. This is going to be the season of Vittorio Grigolo at the Metropolitan Opera. He kicks things off singing the title role of Offenbach's Les Contes d'Hoffmann, The Tales of Hoffmann, which opens tomorrow night, and then he plans to stick around for a while. The Italian tenor will be on stage all the way through the spring, also starring as Cavaradossi in Puccini's Tosca, and then as Edgardo in Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor. In recent season, he's won ecstatic ovations for his fervent portrayals of romantic leading men like Rodolfo, Werther, Romeo, Degrieux, and once before, Hoffmann. Welcome back, Vittorio. It's great to see you. Happy new season.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for welcoming here tonight. So excited, so glittering, this incredible opening night tonight, and I am excited for tomorrow.
Excited for tomorrow? So are we. What a final dress rehearsal.
It was really exciting. I usually, you know, in the morning I say that I don't give myself the best of myself in the morning. But actually I have to say that the other day, I don't know if it's a jet lag or whatever it is, but it was incredible. The public, also the cast, everybody was incredibly connected, and I really enjoyed it. From the first note till the end.
Well, we enjoyed it, too. And I remember the last time you sang this role here in 2015, how excited
we
were
remember.
For that.
Oh,
of
my
course.
God. You should work in a software station. Your software is better than my hardware.
So how do you feel about returning to this role again now? I know you've done it sometimes since then as well.
Yes, I think I grew up. I mean, I always, you just came, you told me that you just came from my hometown,
You're
Arezzo.
Where you were born, Arezzo, Italy.
So I come
so
from
beautiful.
Tuscany. Yes, yeah. this year in Tuscany, we didn't have a great year of... the sun was not there, and actually it was too much sun, sorry. The
it
rain
was really
not there.
Hot.
The rain was not there, yeah. So the grapes are not incredibly good, so the wine is going to be less. But I'm telling you that because...
Now we know where your priorities are.
No, I'm telling you this about Arezzo, about Tuscany, because I grew up, I think, in this role like a good wine, like a good grape. When you receive a lot of sun... And that inside that little grape mature, that kind of a juice, you know, it reduces the water and it becomes so thick a little bit, you know. It's a kind of, my Hoffmann before was a little bit lighter. I felt like I'm not lighter in terms of voice. I think in terms of heaviness of the body on stage. I was, maybe sometimes I couldn't really feel... something about this role, but in those old since I've performed the role here, and I had the chance to go around all over the world and bring this incredible score in different I would say cooked in different ways, because mm-hmm. everybody doesn't know or want to do their own Hoffmann, invert the girls first, Giulietta, then Olympia, then Antonia. I mean,
yeah.
At the end, Hoffmann has to go around all over them. So whatever happened,
So you've been in different editions,
yes,
that had the acts in different orders.
Yes. Actually, it was interesting to change those girls, because we're talking also about changing this different each female role that interact with Hoffmann. For Hoffmann, it's a different style of singing and a different tessitura that we are going through. So usually the best, we always sing the version we are going to see here at the Met. So with the Giulietta at the end,
mm-hmm.
Because it's more dramatic and you interact with the mezzo, so you need more deepness in the voice and it's more strong, the impact and everything. So it's a growing up. I like the fact is Olympia, Antonia, and Giulietta at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But in different version, I inverted. I put the Giulietta. It was a little bit forcing, you know, restarting everything in order to do the Giulietta in the middle. It was crazy.
I bet the shape of the role is then completely different when you switch it around like that.
Yes.
Gosh, there aren't any. I can't think of another single opera you could change things around like that in.
I don't know, but
Tosca would be crazy backwards, but there you go.
But actually, I would say that, like in in mathematics, yeah, you say the you change the order of things and the results doesn't change, right?
Yeah.
So I think is the same. Yeah. So yeah. Don't be worried.
So now last season we had you in a couple of French roles.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet by Gounod and Werther by Massenet. Boy, that was exciting too. Oh. You and French repertoire seem like, I mean, you're an Italian guy, but you seem like there's something about you and French repertoire that just is magical together.
I like it to death.
Why do you like it? What is it about? What is it about it that just touches you just like that?
I don't know. It's like maybe because when I was a kid, I was inside a little French school and I started speaking French and I had my first step was in a French school, so maybe it is. It's like a going back to the roots. No?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you've been speaking French since you were a little kid, then?
Oui, madame.
Ah, what do you know? Interesting. So let me fill the listeners in. You've already told them a little bit about Hoffmann, but might just say a little bit more. He's a poet with quite a few failed romances.
I'd say he's a drunk poet.
He's a drunk poet, okay. He is shadowed by a villain or maybe several of them, and his own muse wants him to focus on his work.
Yeah, let's say that the villain is the devil, is the reincarnation of the devil. Okay. So in some picture, is the bad guy, is the angel that wants to always... Let's say that the villain actually is the temptation. He really wants that guy to go and fall over and really screw it up. So that's why he's bringing all these things. Also, the beautiful aria, Diamant, when he's singing.
Yeah.
Oh, Diamant, da-da-dee, I love that.
I do, too.
This is a very interesting character. I really like the fact he's trying to tempt him and trying to always shuffle in the cards, in the correct order. Mm-hmm. He knows what to do. But at the end, I don't know if... there is something that in life we cannot control, and is actually the when you roll the dice, how do you call it? It's the something that you can you cannot
fate
control.
Fate or something, fate maybe. No. You roll the dice and
you introduce. I mean, something that is the unexpected, the X factor. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let's call it X factor. So at the end, he doesn't understand. He's pushing. But at the end, he can. At the end, Hoffmann, he has already all written, and he's reading him by himself. He's reading his story by himself. That is what is incredible. He's trying to find something he will never find, but at the end he will be happy, because the beautiful phrase that we will see, you will listen at the end, they said, even if you're crying, if a man crying is crying, he can find, actually it's after crying that you find a little bit of a smile. Maybe when you release it all out, then you're free and then you can smile.
I can't remember the line exactly myself, but during the final dress rehearsal, I have to confess, I wrote that down. A great man is one who does something, but a greater man who knows how to cry, or something like that.
Yes.
It's a beautiful way to end it.
It is.
Yeah. So,
don't cry, please.
Don't cry. What are the three different aspects of love that he finds with these three women, do you think? Olympia, Antonia, and Giulietta?
I don't think he would never find that kind of love. That's why it's so interesting, because he doesn't find it. He's inspired it, and he starts writing about it because he wants to find something that he never had. He wants to feel those sensations, but actually he would never find it. The first is... Olympia is a doll, is a robot. So it's a robot without feelings, and he is only allowed to see those feelings and those nuances and colors because he's wearing those glasses, those spectacles. So it's all a fake thing. It's really, and let's not forget that it's Hoffmann himself that is writing this story. He's inventing, he's drunk, he's sitting, and it's like a dream. We are living a reality, a virtual reality of Hoffmann. And then we see him back at the end in the epilogue. So we are living the entire opera in a 360 virtual reality, and then the guy is going to wake up at the end and say, oh my God, this Sbirri, the police is coming,
Yeah.
Oh my God, an epilogue is coming. So he will never reach in reality what he really wants to feel in his imagination. So, and also in his imagination, everything is so sad. He will never reach it, not even in the dreams, because sometimes the good things of being a human is that you can dream big because it's free, no?
Yeah,
you say,
yeah.
Dream big, at least it's free. When you dream, you don't pay for it. So, and this guy doesn't know how to dream with a good ending. He's always sad. The first is broken. The second one, when he sings too much, it goes out of the heart attack, you know, yeah. The pressure comes in and she dies. I mean, and the other one, she's completely in the ends of hell. So I mean, so autodestructive that she will leave him in the middle of nothing after having killed a man with his own hands. Mm-hmm. So after killing basically his life. Because police is coming, you just kill a man. I mean, what is gonna say that he's Hoffman, a drunk poet? He's gonna get him out. No way.
It's intermission during Bellini's Norma here, opening night of the Met's new season, and we're speaking with tenor Vittorio Grigolo, who is starring as Hoffman tomorrow night. Thanks for coming up the night before your show.
Thank
we really
you so
appreciate
much.
It. So now you're known for developing great chemistry with your leading ladies. How does that work with How does that work with three women that you don't get to love in the end? I mean, you have Erin Morley and Anita Hartig and Oksana Volkova in these roles, and I mean,
you should ask her.
Ask them.
No, I think we do love each other. I mean, on stage there is always we always trying to have a great chemistry. We didn't. I mean, sometimes we would like even have more time to interact and make things that. Arrive such in a floating way that we don't think, you know, we really need, but we do that. We arrive at the end that we forget everything. I mean, all this what is being studied is gone, and I think that's the beauty of art, that we just give freedom to the space of our imagination and fantasy and creativity that will bring a new character and new notes. I mean, not new notes, because we need to follow the score.
Yeah.
But new notes in terms that we are reinterpreting in a different way. You mm-hmm. know, sometimes we just put a lot of ourselves.
Put all that study behind you and just go for
yeah.
it, huh?
Be just let it
I go. Bet you're a real spontaneous guy on stage, aren't you?
That's what they say.
That's what they say. So tell us about the Range Hoffman covers. Both dramatically and emotionally. I mean, you do everything out there.
Actually, it starts light. It starts grumpy. So I would say that it starts like a lyrical
in
the prologue.
Yeah.
He has to have this kind of a dark voice, not so much, but he's drunk. Is all inside his thoughts. It's deeply involved in all his things, and of course in his drinking and his friends. So. That's the first part, and not so much, but then he start lighting it up, like Olympia, it's very light, and then actually he's a young boy. In Olympia, it's himself, but younger, so it's a younger version of him. So I think he didn't start drinking so much,
mm-hmm.
so his voice is a little bit lighter, and bel canto, fraseggio is soft, and sometimes with power, of course. At the end of the act, when she's completely
she comes unglued,
unglued, I like, and after the second part, I mean, with Antonia, it's a lirico pieno. I think it's a very it is a very full body voice, and I would say like in Bohème. So a little bit even more, and
that's interesting because you and Anita Hartig have done Bohème here together.
Yes.
So it's a little bit like that.
Yes, little bit like Bohème, and I would say that with the mezzo, it's like a little bit of Werther, so like more dramatic.
Uh-huh.
So it pushes the voice to those kind of limits. It's not dramatic, but I would say lirico pieno spinto,
mm-hmm.
and. Tendential to the spinto, so it's a very complete role and very difficult because Hoffman at the end doesn't have a big aria. It's like Don Carlo, let's say it. Everybody's a winner in the opera except the guy, But if you are, you are a winner if you know how to sew the character in between them. I mean, you are the orchestrator in the middle of them. And if you don't have a good Hoffman, it's like you don't have the glue in between all those people. Mm-hmm. Because it should be, it's not about having an aria and a moment of, I think, a great solo. It's just to have a person that can really, you know, nail all of them in one nail. I mean, and put it, right, and give you the energy that you're not distracting the story, and you keep going with this energy from the beginning towards the ends. It's like an elastic, you know, that you pull elastic. You know, there's a rubber band that you're pulling from the beginning till the end, and just at the end, when it's all there, you know, you release the rubber band, and it goes poof, and this is finish of the opera.
Right. I've got to ask you about the other things you're doing at the Met this season. Puccini's Tosca, Donizetti's Lucia, Verismo, Bel Canto. That's quite a range of stuff you're going to do here this season later.
Yeah, I just accepted because, I mean, as you know, and everybody know, this Tosca was not planned in my schedule here at the Met. So it's something that we had last minute. So mm-hmm. I was supposed to do Hoffman, and then after a while perform Lucia. That's also a great role I really like and I love, because it is bel canto, but you need balls. Like, at the end, when the guy dies, you need really...
It's your mad scene for the last 15 minutes. Yeah.
You really die. Really die. So, but I really like that aria, Tombe degli avi miei. Oh. So I really like that, and I never performed that at the Met. So I said, maybe it's good to do it right now before I might pass to other things to sing. And, you know, I want to be able to do everything in this opera house that give me so much, so that I can, pass and do something else in the future, and maybe repeat something that is still on my chords. And let's see, because as we said, as a good wine mature, we never know if we need to change the barrique.
So. We got 1 minute left. I've got to ask you about the thing.
Tosca.
Well,
sorry, I didn't.
That's okay. That's all right. Okay. I want to ask you about the YouTube thing of you coaching this lovely soprano with her boombox in California. If anybody, everybody saw it, it was a street musician. She's standing there singing an aria with her boombox, and who walks down the sidewalk and gives her a coaching?
Me.
But you. That was so. That just warmed my heart to watch you do that and help that girl. Tell us what it was like.
No, it was fun because she didn't even know. I didn't tell her who I was.
She wondered, who are you?
No, and until, but she felt it right. I came next to her, and I was just in front of her and singing very softly, and she understood what I was thinking of, and she just stopped. I mean, somebody could have said, oh, what are you doing? I mean, no, she understand that I was there. I was trying to give a little bit of what I received also to share. So I was trying to do this, and actually I invited her to the recital that I had that night at Broad Stage in LA, and she was happy to hear that. I think I invited her so also on stage. She was there,
invited to sing.
Yeah. And I think we did La Traviata at the end, you know, La Traviata.
A lovely thing. And she'll never forget it.
No, I also told her about my teacher. I mean, when I hear people that deserves something, I am not shy, and I'm not reluctant to give them advice or give even my teacher if it's needed. I mean. So it was good.
That was your good deed of the summer.
Karma. You give it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, receive and give it back.
Vittorio Grigolo is starring in the title role in Offenbach's Le Comte Hoffmann, which is opening tomorrow night, and we will be here for that. The opera runs through October.
I'll be here too.
But he will be back New Year's Eve for Tosca and next spring in Lucia. Toy. We'll
Tosca
see
is going to be like, I'm going to shake it. Last time I did Tosca, you know when it was?
It was our gala, wasn't it?
What? When it was 1990. I was the little shepherd, and now I'm Mario Cavaradossi. How's that?
You can coach the shepherd. Thanks, Vittorio.
Thank you, guys.
We will be right back with more of Norma in just a moment. Stay with us.
Let's go.
Mr. Berger still saying.
Sorry.
We just had to share. We told you how wonderful the final dress was. We just had to share one more little clip. That was a little tiny bit of the septet from Act 3 of Hoffmann. That was Vittorio Grigolo singing.
I've always wanted to take the baritone part with Vittorio and the tenor part. And I just got to do
the
that.
The dream happened.